Today's reading is taken from Psalm 25, and then I'll read again that verse, Hebrews 10, verse 23, from the NIV. Psalm 25. In you, Lord, my God, I put my trust. I trust in you. Do not let me be put to shame, nor let my enemies triumph over me. No one who hopes in you will ever be put to shame, but shame will come on those who are treacherous without cause. Show me your ways, Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me. For you are God, my Saviour. My hope is in you all day long. Remember, Lord, your great mercy and love, for they are from of old. Do not remember the sins of my youth and my rebellious ways. According to your love, remember me. For you, Lord, are good. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he instructs sinners in his ways. He guides the humble in what is right and teaches them his way. All the ways of the Lord are loving and faithful toward those who keep the demands of his covenant. And then Hebrews 10 and 23. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. Today is the first Sunday of Advent. Advent means arrival, and we're going to be thinking about how the arrival of Jesus brings hope, love, peace, and joy. Please do listen to the introduction at the beginning of the service to involve yourself more in the things that the church is doing over this Advent season. Also, today is communion. So please do pause the service or this sermon video wherever you get to and join us for communion at 10:30. So today we're going to be thinking about hope. We've just finished a series on having confidence in God. Last week, Ardwell was talking about confidence in God's presence. That was the last part of our 10-part series on confidence in God, based in the early chapters of Ephesians. How we can be confident in God because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. So do go back and listen to any that you might have missed. The whole series is now on the website. Confidence in God's salvation, his plan for us, his plan for the church, his power to transform, his victory in good over evil and light over darkness, and in his presence. And we have confidence because of who God is, because of what God has done, and because of what his word says. The Bible says confidence enables us to regularly take action, to step out in faith. Hope is something different. Hope is a candle in the darkness. Hope is a situation which isn't going so well or might not go well, but there's hope for something to change. Hope is not optimism. Optimism looks at the probable outcomes and calculates that there's a fairly good chance of something good happening. So you might say that you could be optimistic about the development of a business this year. Looking at the situation, all things considered, there's a pretty good chance it's going to do well. But hope is something a bit more romantic almost. Hope is daring to believe when the circumstances wouldn't necessarily suggest that anything good could happen. But it just might. I might have a battered old car and hope that it's going to get through its MOT. I might support a struggling football team and hope that with the introduction of a new striker who could score a few goals, maybe that team might be able to stay up this year. Hope is where I don't have control over a situation. I just have to hope that it's going to happen. Some quotes about hope. Hope is inspiration. Jonas Salk developed one of the first successful polio vaccines in 1955. He said, "Hope lies in dreams, in imagination, and in the courage of those who dare to make dreams into reality." So hope is related to courage. Napoleon Bonaparte also recognised this link between hope and courage, that hope is a powerful force. And he said, "Courage is like love. It must have hope for nourishment." Hope has that power to lift us when nothing else can. Michelle Obama said that hope can take on a life of its own. We also use hope when we think about the future. Albert Einstein said, "Learn from yesterday, live for today, hope for tomorrow." Franklin D. Roosevelt said, "We have always held to the hope, the belief, the conviction that there is a better life, a better world beyond the horizon." And we can also hope in the face of adversity. Martin Luther King said, "We must accept finite disappointment, but never lose infinite hope." And we, as Christians, have hope in Jesus. As we wait for Christmas, we share some of that hope, some of that anticipation that the people of God, as they waited for the Messiah to come, also had. We know that Jesus can come into situations and transform them. There's hope that he will do that again in our lives, in the lives of those around us, and in our world. We have hope in Jesus. We have hope in God. And David also hoped in God, as we read that psalm, didn't he? We got that sense that David is daring to believe something, something that isn't guaranteed, but there's a deep hope within him that it will happen. Or even that if it doesn't happen exactly as he's planning, that God has good plans for him, that he can trust in God. David has hope. In verse 1 and 2, he talks about trust and never being put to shame by his enemies. He says, "No one who hopes in you will ever be put to shame." Then he commits himself again to walking in God's ways. "Show me your ways," he says. "Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God, my Saviour." He knows that God has saved him in the past. This is part of the basis of his hope. He says, "My hope is in you all day long." And personally, I know that I need that. So often I manage to put my hope in God at the beginning of the day. By the end of the day, I realise that I've placed hope in many other things as well. I need to keep my hope in God. Back to the psalm. David appeals to God's mercy, his love and his goodness, and also to his faithfulness, the character of God and what God has done in the past. So, we've spent some time reflecting on what hope is. This first Sunday of Advent, we also remember the stories of how God has been faithful to his people as we look back over the history of God's people in the Old Testament. As you can see, this is linked, God's faithfulness to our hope. Because God's faithfulness in the past gives us hope for the future. But more than that, there was always a sense that God was going to do something more. The people of God were looking forward to the coming of the Messiah. They had hope in a deeper salvation. They had hope for a closer relationship with God. And that hope was realised in Jesus Christ. Tim Keller, in his book on preaching, explains how the characters of the Old Testament point us to Jesus. All those who brought about a redemption or a deliverance at any level are pointers to Jesus Christ. And they do this in the text, and then we reflect on their strength, and we see those strengths then perfected in Jesus. They also, in their weakness, show that Jesus didn't have these weaknesses. And then also in their character, in their humility, and in their love, we again see that these are perfected in Jesus. For example, Jesus is the true and better Abraham who answered the call of God to leave the comfortable and familiar and go out into the void, not knowing whither he went, to create a new people of God. Jesus is the true and better Joseph who, at the right hand of the king, forgives those who betrayed and sold him and uses his new power to save them. Jesus is the true and better Moses who stands in the gap between the people and the Lord and who mediates a new covenant, a covenant that is written not on tablets of stone, but written on our hearts. Jesus is the true and better Job, the truly innocent sufferer who then intercedes for and saves his struggling friends. Jesus is the true and better David, whose victory becomes his people's victory, though they never lifted a stone to accomplish it themselves. Jesus is the true and better Esther, who didn't just risk losing an earthly palace, but lost the ultimate heavenly palace, who didn't just risk his life, but gave his life to save his people. Jesus is the true and better Jonah, who was cast out into the storm so that we could be brought in. It's always been about Jesus, and we have hope in Jesus today. We see how Jesus transforms lives. My own life has been transformed by Jesus. I know that Jesus has spiritually healed me, and he's saved me, and he's transformed me. That's because I have been reconciled to God. And Jesus said, if I believe in him, I am forgiven. And that if I sin again, I'm not perfect, I can be forgiven again as I come back to him. And this is true for you too. If you believe in Jesus, that cross pays the price for your sin, his death on the cross. If you believe that he is the Son of God, you will be forgiven. And this gives us peace with God. And Jesus then says, we will have eternal life in him. I have a hope that goes beyond the grave, a sure and certain hope for a perfect eternity because of Jesus. And so as a result of knowing what God has done in my own life and seeing what God has done in the lives of others and reading what God has done over history in Scripture, I have a strong hope that Jesus can transform more lives. That more people will be transformed, saved and healed spiritually by knowing Jesus. And might even be hope healed physically as well. Well, each Sunday there's going to be an Advent devotional. And as part of that, there's a video to watch. Today's video is on hope, so we're going to include it here in the service as well. And this video explains a bit more about what biblical hope is and how that comes together in Jesus. So, as it said in the video, biblical hope is not optimism based on the odds, but is a choice to wait for God to bring about a future. So there is great hope in the history of God's faithfulness to his people. There is hope in what Jesus has done on the cross and in his resurrection. And there is also glorious hope of a future in Jesus Christ. We live currently in the days of salvation and grace, but there is still great struggle, suffering, and evil in our world. And Jesus is coming one day to bring all evil to an end. In Matthew 24, we read this. Jesus said there would be trials and tribulations for the people of God, but then in verse 29, we read, immediately after the distress of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from the sky and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. Then will appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then all the peoples of the earth will mourn when they see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heavens to the other. Jesus is coming to judge the living and the dead. We read that in 1 Timothy 4 and verse 1. All who have trusted in him will be saved. Now is the time of the offer of salvation. Now is the time of the offer of God's grace. Now, while we are alive and before Jesus comes again, we don't know when we are going to die. We don't know when Jesus is coming again. But we can repent of our sins, turn back to God, repent of the evil that it is in our hearts. We can trust in Jesus to forgive our sin. We can receive mercy from God and turn to him. You can be one of God's people. You can be reconciled to God. And for those who are in faith, the second coming is good news. In 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 16, it says, for the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. And the whole earth will be recreated in perfection. That we read in Romans 8, verse 21, it was referred to in the video. And we read in Revelation 21 how this will come about. That heaven will come to earth. And then reading on in that chapter, in chapter 21, in the vision of the Apostle John, he hears the voice saying, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. There is hope of restoration, hope of eternity, hope of the beauty of the presence of God, hope in a perfect world restored in the wonder and beauty and presence of God. So today, we have hope in what God has done. We have hope in the power of Jesus to transform today. And we have a hope that goes beyond the grave. We have a hope in the future that the whole of creation will be renewed and that the world will be liberated from sin and despair. Jesus is coming again. Come, Lord Jesus. That's the Christian hope. Amen.